Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Everybody, welcome to Voice Rising. With me today in studio is the singer-songwriter Carmen Underwood. Carmen's adventure began in a studio in Berlin and focused on her voice and supported by soft piano chords and the melodic sound of a Fender Rhodes piano. She recorded 8 songs that produce a very pure live session feel. 8 songs, 2 of which you're going to hear tonight. And I welcome you, Carmen, to the show. I'm excited to talk to you tonight about sound and singing.
Yes. Hello, Kara. Nice to have me. Yes. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So let's start this conversation in a very easy place before we deepen into those bigger questions that pull us forward. Tell me, what is one of your strongest childhood memories connected to music and your voice?
Okay, so I think I can remember a moment when I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I was standing in front of the radio, and and I loved to sing along with all the songs, and I didn't know any English word or so, but everything was totally interesting for me to trying out to sing along and to feel that all the melodies and the sounds, and so that was I was totally into it, and I think I did this nearly every day.
Just to kind of stood and listened to the radio and danced and moved.
And all the music around me, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I do know that I'm also living in Berlin, and so many people, although German is the mother tongue, they absorbed the English language through music, through listening to all those lyrics, right?
Yes, that's
so
right.
We all seem to be on the path to finding work that makes our souls sing, to living that big dream of finding what fulfills us. And you've really found it, and you are living and creating as a singer-songwriter. You're doing your tours, you're creating your albums. What was a turning point for you where you realized, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to dedicate my life to finding words that connect me to myself, to my music, to my audience, and really live the path of voice?
It was a moment when we rehearsed in our, so we had a little cover band when I was 15, and I wasn't in the band. I just popped up because the other singer, she didn't came, and they asked me, so can you sing along, or can you sing Alanis Morissette for us? And I said, okay, good, I do it. And I did this, and after the song, they were quiet, and they just, were stunning at me, and were so, oh, you have a wonderful voice. And I said, oh, yes, things I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I realized, so you have to sing. Whatever people say to you, you have to sing. And so we did this cover band thing a few more years. And after a while, I realized I have to go somewhere, and it was Berlin in the end, to know more about my voice and to be creative and to do my own stuff and not only sing the songs that are already here, so to create new stuff and to create new music. Mm-hmm. And in 2003, I went to Berlin, and I started also with a little band doing my own stuff, yes.
Beautiful.
So that was the beginning. Yeah.
And you recorded an album right in Berlin.
Yes.
And then, which I thought was very interesting, because I met you in Berlin at, well, I met you first at a private party, but later I saw you in concert, and you told the story about how you had a dream of also traveling, and you started to travel around Europe, and then you actually took the big jump, and with literally this beautiful tiny little Korg piano and your family, you, if I know the story correctly, you went into, you traveled with a camper all around Australia and basically stopped in every second town and kind of said, hey, can I do a concert? I mean, you created your tour on the fly. Is that true?
That's
you
right.
Just kind
yes.
of, yeah. And so yeah. you basically were meeting people and breathing music and meeting people through music, through connecting, seeing, you know, living the dream again of taking a year off and being in Australia. So what was that like to just trust in the music so much that you didn't have to pre-plan your tour or have any big management? You just got in a camper and went for it.
Yes. So my husband, he did all the booking stuff and but it was first it was New Zealand and then we went to Australia.
Okay.
So in the whole time we were down under, it was five and I think somehow 6 months. And so first it was New Zealand and really we started there. So it was not with my piano. We asked another singer-songwriter in New Zealand if she can borrow me her piano.
Mm-hmm.
And and we did this in Christchurch. We just flew in, and in this first week, we asked her. And then there was no concert at all. And suddenly one popped up. And when this happened, we played there, I played there, and then all the people told the other event managers or the other clubs and pubs, hey, you have to have her, and they are on tour here, and then suddenly it was somehow 15, 16 concerts.
Wow.
On this tour, and it was so beautiful. All the people, they were so lovely. They were so... They welcomed us so lovely and so, warmly,
yeah.
And it was so nice. It was really unbelievable, beautiful, yes.
Beautiful. So what happened? You probably made a lot of friends down under and a lot
yes.
of friends also in Australia. Are you in touch with the people? Because this last year has been very troublesome, seeing all the wildfires and what's happening with our environment. Do you have contact still with friends in Australia?
Yes, we have. So we don't know that much about what is going on exactly there.
Mm-hmm.
But of course we see on Facebook and all these things. So we see. Also, I think like all the others, we know only these details, what is going
mm-hmm.
on there.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have very close friends there. And we are in touch, of course, but it's not that much or very often. Yeah.
Yeah. It can make us very, I think as a humanity, we can start to really increase our awareness for what can we give back to the earth and what can we do for our environment, right? When we see these situations. So your songs they tell about memories that you've had, relationships and tangible happiness, and you really bring the listener in a lively, emotional, harmonious world, and it's a mixture of pop, innocence, vulnerability. What makes you decide which themes you really want to write about as a songwriter?
Oh, so it always happens in all these situations, in all these moments. So if there is a topic, if it pops up, sometimes I don't know what is going on. So I start writing, and after the song, then I know, or when the song is finished, then I know, okay, so that's the topic at all. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting, yeah. So it's always very different how it all works and how it starts and how it ends. So but I love to just go with the flow and let it happen and don't go into with my mind too strong or too much.
Exactly. So you know also this place, obviously, if you go deep into that deep flow, you probably know as a singer-songwriter that feeling of having a very open heart and at the same time feeling a little bit vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
And the newest studies show that it's our inability to be vulnerable that actually makes us weak. So when we're vulnerable and when we risk and when we risk emotional exposure, we're actually stronger, we're more resilient. And yet we know as singers, and this is what I think it's so tricky, that if we are really vulnerable, that our voice also can get shaky sometimes, or the throat might close down. So it's really rugged terrain to cross when we're alone doing concerts, sharing our heart, being vulnerable. And you know that also there might be critics sitting in the audience. So what is your trick? What are some of the obstacles you've faced with your own vulnerability? And what are some of the tips you have of how we can learn to stay relaxed and share and express so freely?
Okay, so I think the most important thing is that we are vulnerable in that moment when we write it. So if we write a song, so that the frequency of the song is the purest feeling you want to share with the people, or how you really feel. So that so that this feeling or this frequency is really in that song. And whatever you do on stage, so I realized that with a song that is very emotional for the people, but sometimes I don't feel that feeling anymore on stage. Mm-hmm. So I can laugh or I can smile. No, not laugh. I can smile, but the people cry. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting. So I really tried that out. And that's very interesting. So it's if you have the right frequency in your song, then all is fine. So whatever the people think in that moment when you're on stage, I think you should clear your mind and you should say, if it is for you, then it's good. And if it's not for you, then it's also okay. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The right people will get it. And I think that if you go on stage or go wherever you want to go, then you go on tour, then the people will come who need this song or who need this feeling.
Frequency.
Frequency, yeah. Feeling. Yeah, so it's...
Yeah.
I don't have the real big issues with the people that they don't like my music or something like this anymore.
Yeah. You talked about clearing your mind. Do you have a practice of like a ritual, lighting candles or getting in a relaxed space, meditating? Do you have a writing practice before you write to receive those frequencies?
Yes. So I think the most important thing is that you get into the feeling. So whatever you mm-hmm. feel or whatever comes up, that you go into it really deeply, and if it's really hurting, I have to say then it's perfect. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go through your own topic, go through your own issues, and then it will work. Yes.
So you also see songwriting and singing for you as a healing path, as a path to make yourself whole, and also to have that experience that people in the audience, they resonate then with a certain theme that you've gone through, and they say, I've been going through the same thing.
Yes. And at the moment I start writing in German as well, but before that I only write in English. And that was really interesting that also the people in Germany, some of them don't understand the words, or they don't understand the lyrics, but they can feel it with a melody or with a frequency or whatever it was. And and that was really interesting that it's
Sag mal auf Deutsch. Ich kann übersetzen. I can translate.
Yeah, but I don't know where I want to go.
Okay, well, we're going to go into a station break then. That's good. We're going to take a little station break. You can connect your thoughts. We'll be back in 1 or 2 minutes with Carmen Underwater.
Perfect. Thanks.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet? Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, grown-worthy. but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school? Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Voice Rising. I'm your host, Cara Johnstadt, and with me in studio is Carmen Underwater. Carmen, you have a song out there called Breathe, and some of the lyrics are, the only way to heal is to breathe, to get back control, breathe, and you write a lot about healing. So what's your experience as a singer-songwriter with breathing patterns, and how do those breathing patterns affect our emotions?
I think breathing is the thing that brings us back to us again. So if we are lost somewhere, then breathing is the best way to get back, or to calm ourselves again, or yes. And if you're in a, if you have any problems or issues, or where you don't know where to go, then So for me, it was always helpful, and to breathe again, to remember breathing again, and
and take a deep breath. Yeah.
Yes. In and out, and so not only once, a few times. So it's and this helps me always to go to calm down. And whenever you have stress on stage, or if you are a little bit too excited to go on stage, then this helps very, very much. Yes.
Beautiful. I'd love to play the track Breathe for our listening audience today. Do you want to say a few words about this song before we play it?
Yes, so for me, it was a moment when I stood in front of the sea, in front of the ocean, and it was a very stormy day, and inside and outside, and I really thought, okay, good, shall I go into the ocean, and shall I stay there? And I thought, no, I will stay here. On land, on the beach, and I will just breathe in and breathe out, and maybe it changes.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So let's listen to Carmen Underwater's track, Breathe.
To dive in the water, when I come up again, I lay myself down, but it's still not over. I breathe to get back control. I breathe and keep hold of the last piece of my soul.
was the track Breathe by Carmen Underwater here with me in studio. You're listening to Voice Rising. Carmen, what comes first to you, the melody or the words, the rhythm, the chords? What do you hear when you start to write your songs?
Most of the time it's the melody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start putting some words into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, and after a while, there are some chords, yes.
Yeah, huh? That's how I work, too. I either work on the words or melodies, but it's rarely that I hear the chords first. I think because we're singers and not pianos, you know.
Yes, right.
We're singers. We hear the melodies first, exactly. So what do you have a songwriting practice every day? Are you one of these people that carries a notebook always with you and you write whenever you get a good phrase, or do you wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and write for 2 hours? Or how do you get your songs? How do you get the consistency? Yeah.
Oh yeah. I work on my discipline.
Yeah.
Yes, but what I really like to do is staying in bed and listen to my inner voice, what my inner voice is singing for me. Mm-hmm. And after that, I like to stay, to get up really early, at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But not every day. So I do meditation, I do yoga, I do writing, just whatever comes out of my mind. I just write. So not with any focus or with any topic. So that's what I try to do in the morning. And so whenever I have time, I try to write as much as I can. Yeah, because I'm very good in melodies, but not that good in lyrics. And so I have mm-hmm. to really train it to keep writing and to find the right words and all these things. Yeah.
Do you go back to those morning pages? I'm assuming these are like morning pages where it's more of a stream of consciousness, where you're allowing your heart and your mind just to flow. Do you go back there and see which themes might be working through you? Do you tap into those morning pages to grab your refrains or your ideas?
Yes, I try to do this.
And then you polish it from there?
Yeah, so sometimes there is a topic and sometimes it's trash. So you can't use it, but sometimes mm-hmm. it's really interesting what comes out, and you don't know, so this is my topic. This is what I write about. This is what I tell the people about. This is what so it really helps for to get into the flow and to
And do you finish all your songs? I've had it happen to me that some songs, they just finish themselves really, really easily, and some songs we work on and we polish, and they also have this, you know, this completeness that happens when you know that it's complete. And there are other songs that are just missing a certain part, like an arm and a leg, and you don't know what to do with them. And do you finish them only? Well, at least for me, it's like this, that sometimes I feel like if I force them to be finished, it's not authentic. It's like they just haven't had the right time. And so I was wondering, do you finish them and make sure they're complete, or do you just let them sit there and wait until they beg you from the corner of the notebook, please finish me?
So if there is a day that I really have to finish it, then this can help. But if I have the time free, then so Breathe was a song that was written in one night.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not very often. like this, but so I have also some songs I needed 1 year or something for it to finish it. So it's always different. But what I like to do now is, if I think the song is not finished, then I give it more time. I give the mm-hmm. song more time, so it's okay. Then it's not finished yet. I don't need to write on Facebook or Instagram, so now I have the song finished. Yeah. So right. So all it's all fine. Yeah. And but I really take it out as much as possible and try along what could be better or what sounds better or whatever. So I always give it a try. Yeah.
Do you ever work in a team where then another pianist will come and through a different voicing of the chords you start getting different ideas with the lyric? Or is it a one person show?
Yeah, it's a one woman show, yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. But sometimes I would love to have some others for co writing or something.
It's hard, right? I think
it's
hard. Yeah.
So you have to find the right person, I think.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And I like this one woman show. I mean, Laura Nero was a great writer, Joni Mitchell. You know, there's a lot of great writers out there, and I actually find it a little bit suspicious when you see, you know, eight people on a song. I'm kind of wondering how that all works. I think it's not as organic as we think. It's like we say in English, you know, too many cooks can spoil the soup, you know, kind of thing.
That's right.
You know, it's like, yes. you don't know who added what chili and salt and oregano, and you're like, ugh. yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes,
so,
right.
So you don't always have your piano with you. So you do when you work with the melodies, or are you one of the singers that talks into her phone and then later? I'm like that. I'll walk down the street memo it. Yeah.
Yes, with my iPhone. So it's all on. What is it? Memos or something?
Yeah.
I don't know the
memo.
English word for it. Yeah.
Sprachmemos. Memos. Yeah, Sprachmemos is audio memos. Exactly.
Audio memos, okay, yes.
Audio memos,
so
exactly.
So it's packed with ideas, and I always forget to delete some, so it's totally full, yeah.
Yeah, you need a big phone as a songwriter. You need a big...
yes, you need it, yes. I think I have the biggest iPhone 7, so whatever you can have the most... gigabyte.
Have you found there are better places for writing songs? Do you go to the woods, or do you go to a cafe, or does it not matter? Do you just kind of wander until a song arrives? Are there also better countries? Have you experimented with that? Like, was it easier for you to write in New Zealand and Australia than in Germany?
No, it was not really easy to write somewhere on tour because I had my little child with me, and whenever I wasn't on stage, then I had this little guy on my lap, so it was not that easy to write some stuff. I just wrote some ideas in a book, or so also with my phone I had some ideas, but not the really songwriting finishing thing. Yeah, so I love to be at home on my desk and on my piano.
Yeah.
And I really need this space, and I love to go out and get some ideas wherever I am, so in the woods, in Berlin, so wherever I am, but I love to finish all the things at home.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
A cozy
good.
Little home.
Very good. Okay, let's take it. It's 1 minute earlier, but let's take a little station break, and then I'll be back here, and we can talk a little bit more about songwriting and singing.
Great.
And meditation.
Yes.
bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi, this is David Strickle. I'm excited to share my brand new show, The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio. Each week, I'll have exciting guests, and I'll channel the eternal wisdom of The Stream, a group of non-physical entities whose teachings have transformed lives all over the world. So join us for an uplifting hour each Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern. That's The Stream of David Live, right here on Om Times Radio.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me in studio today is the singer-songwriter Carmen Underwater. We're talking all about songwriting today and the voice. Yeah. How you doing, Carmen? Tell me a little bit about Tell me a little bit about your song "Stay." What does this song mean to you? How did it come about?
Oh, it's a love song.
A love song.
It's a love song, yes. And it was the moment that when I realized that this guy next to me is the perfect person on my side. And so I thought to keep it and it was the answer to the question to him. So is it, may I stay? Can I stay with you? Because it's so beautiful. I think it's perfect. Yes. And that was the moment. And then I started writing. I went up from bed and I went to my piano and I wrote this song. Yes.
Beautiful. So let's listen. Let's listen to this love song. I have to do that. I think it'll come. This is the track "Stay" by Carmen Underwater. We're going to wait for the studio to put it on. If not, we're going to jump into the theme of love. That's always a good place to start. Well, let's just get then. Let's just transition into. We can maybe go into that track after I ask you all about love, because you seem to be very experienced with love, and very few people have been able to define love, and yet everyone's seeking it. Everyone's wanting to have it. Everyone's yearning for it. And we feel it in our bones when it does arrive. You said that very clearly with the track, say that you actually knew it. You knew that this is the frequency, this is the love vibe that you wanted to have close. So why is love important to you? It's important to every single person, but it's a place that probably nurtures you a lot when you're writing. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. So I think I'm a very loving person, and I like to go deep into loving. It's so cheesy, I have to say. But it's very important to have this love everywhere in the atmosphere, and to connect with people, and to to really love each other and deeply and just put away all these mind things and just love each other and to respect each other and to see what it's in the what is in each person and everything is lovable if you just put away your mind and hug all the people and laugh and then it's there. It's
beautiful.
This is love.
Beautiful.
And this is what we all want. And what we
exactly.
all need and what the earth needs and
all we need is love.
Yeah.
let's see if the studio has a track ready, if we can play the track Stay, if they're there. Otherwise, it's all good. We'll just keep on in flow. We are in flow today.
May I tell you how I feel? Come a little nearer than words at this time.
Underwater, who's with me here in studio. We live in the layers of songs that have passed down from generations to generations, and it seems like our love stories too. We live them deeply. We are a world full of stories, Carmen. We're so hungry for good songs, and we are so hungry for good stories, and we are also so hungry for good loving. What makes a song and a story worth telling again and again and again and again?
I think, if there's If
What makes you return to a song again and again as a listener? And what makes you want to play that song again and again on stage? What is that quality?
For me, the quality is, what I love to create on stage and with the people is that they go in their feelings, in their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with my song, I tell a story, but I always try to keep it as much open as possible so that the people can put their own stories in it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when I'm on stage, then I tell the story before that it's my story and I wrote the song because of da-da-dum. But I like to have only the song and not the story before it so that the song tells the story of the people. So do you understand what I mean?
I understand. I mean, this is an ancient thing. We've been watching theater plays and listening to operas and going to rock concerts because we want to feel our own story through the person on stage living that story.
Right.
I mean, right. So it's a And talk about community. How is community? You do travel a lot. You have fans. There are people that come to your concerts and love your concerts and buy your albums. So how does the role of community, how important is it, and how can we as a community also work together to support artists and support the creative process?
How can we support it? So I think if all the people like the if you want to support music, then of course you can go to concerts, you can listen to artists, and not only go on Spotify. So you really feel them on stage or whatever, or see them in person, and community for me, it's very important it doesn't matter if we talk to each other every week or once in a year. It's more important that we keep in touch, that we know that there's this person and this person, and maybe a little hello and maybe how are you or whatever is enough for the community or for keeping in touch, and because we are connected anyways.
Well, I always had this sense for myself that painters, they paint on canvases, but singer-songwriters, it sounds a little bit bizarre. I know we're writing our lyrics in journals, but our medium is the air, the breath. We have the only instrument connected to a bloodstream. So I always found it very important because those audiences, our community, it carries our songs. They carry the songs with them in their bones when they go home, right? Also take a CD with them, but it's a very profound thing to be a singer and a singer-songwriter. It's a very profound medium that we stand live there and sing, and then the people, they take us in their memory and in their body, and through breathing together we've had that experience together. And I think I don't know how it is for you, but for me it's very important to know that there are listening ears out there even when I'm writing and they're far away. To know that they will be listening helps me to be a better writer, helps me to be a better person, a better singer. Do you have that experience also?
Yes. And of course, when I write my songs, I ask myself, so how would the people feel it? How would it be for them if they hear a song? It's not about being perfect or something. No, that's not the topic. It's more Do they find their story in the song? Do they feel the same what I feel? Is it so? Is yeah.
Or like a deep conversation that we have with the people that we know that are close when they're listening to these songs.
Yes.
If you're in a conversation, you'd also be listening in. So tell us more about your next creative projects. Where's life taking you? Do you have any new albums in the work or EPs or tours? And how can people get in touch with you and follow you?
Yeah, so I'm really working on the next album, and I try to do both languages, so English and German. Mm-hmm. That's very new for me, really, writing in German. And and you can find me everywhere. You can find me on Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram, YouTube, and some more stuff will come up, and I think in fall I will have the album. I will release it,
good.
So that's my plan, so we will see.
very good.
Yes. And of course,
is it Carmen? Yeah. CarmenUnderwater.com, is that right?
Yes, right.
And if there's one thing, now you've been working as a singer and a songwriter, and you're out there, so if there's one thing you'd like people to know about the voice as an instrument, as something that is important, some golden nugget, what would you like people to know about voice?
Oh, for me, the most important thing is that everyone can sing. So there is not something that, I can't sing. We all can sing. So that's, for me, that's very important that the people know.
So they know it, and that they do it, that they even sing? That they not only know that they can sing, but that they all start singing.
Yeah, just try it out. Just sing some whatever notes.
Yeah.
And just have a look where it takes you, and just put your head and your mind away so that I'm not good enough or whatever, or it sounds not great. Just sing and listen to your voice, what the voice is telling you, and how you can be with your singing voice, what person you are with your singing voice. I think you're a bit different when you talk and when you sing. Yeah.
When you're talking, when you sing, maybe the same, maybe different. Very beautiful. I believe also every single person can sing. Actually, we were born singing. We sing before we can talk, and we draw before we can write, and we tell stories before we can read.
Yes.
So if we come back to that place, we're doing very well. Carmen, I thank you so much for being with me today at Voice Rising. I thank you for sharing your journey with everybody, for inspiring them also to live the dream, whether it's just to sing in the kitchen or to grab a pen and paper and to write their thoughts and even go across the big oceans and go on tour with your songs in your pocket. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Cara.
Okay, I wish you a wonderful time, and we're looking forward to your next album.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.